If you have your Bible with you, turn with us to 2 Corinthians, the 2 Corinthian letter, in the 5th chapter, and we're going to start with the 14th verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and starting with the 14th verse. And of course, this is by the Apostle Paul, second letter to the church at Corinth, written from Ephesus in about 50 or 54 A.D., kind of a follow-up to what he had written before. And he had received news, I believe it was from Titus, that the first letter had done a lot of good, had done much to help the people that were there. But Paul writes this letter, and one of the things that he does is that he kind of gets them back on track as far as doctrine is concerned, the biblical doctrine. And in that day and in that time, it was already beginning to be different beliefs that were starting to come in, and some of those beliefs are still with us today. But one of the other things he did, he vindicated his apostleship, because there was some who said, he's not really an apostle. He's not really one of the 12. But you read over in the book of Acts where that he saw the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that the other disciples and apostles did not see. They saw him as he ascended, but Paul saw him as he is glorified. And as God gave him a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, I'm not here today to give lessons and things like that. Just kind of bear with me. But, you know, God knows what he's doing when he saves people. And he knows what he's doing when he calls them. There couldn't have been probably a better one than the Apostle Paul. I'm sure that Peter did his part, all of that. But Paul knew the law forward and backward. I mean, he lived it. And he knew how to speak several languages. He was a Roman citizen and had papers to prove it today. And that helped him get into places that normally he wouldn't have gotten into any other way. And so we're going to look at this particular passage of Scripture. And again, we ask that you pray for us as we try to stand. The 14th verse of the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, we find these words. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Now, already you can see the way that he's building it up. All were dead in sin. So God sent his Savior into the world. He sent his Son to die for all. Makes sense, doesn't it? He didn't die for a few elect. He didn't die for just certain ones. But he died for every individual that would in their heart say, Lord, I am coming to you, whomsoever will. In other words, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, or in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. To wit, that all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If correctly read, this is the 14th down through the 21st verses of the 5th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. I want to flip over to 1 John chapter 3 to kind of include this in with this. It just came to me a little while ago. Behold, what manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Think about that for just a moment. What great love that we cannot describe, a depth of love that is beyond human nature, that God would redeem us and call us sons of God. Now, when it says sons of God there, it's not going by sex or gender, that only the male gender have been adopted into the family of God. But he's speaking of those of humanity, that is male and female. He said in one place, he said, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So he said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We'll have a glorified body. The moment in the twinkling of an eye. But our thought is going to come from the previous verses of Scripture that we read in your hearing. And I think probably knowing that we're the sons of God, knowing that we have a home in heaven, as we sang about a mansion over a hilltop, I thought I was going to just fly away. I just thought, oh, my lands, I can't wait. I can't wait to see my Savior. I can't wait to see the patriarchs of old. I can't wait to see the King upon his throne. But he's given unto us a responsibility after that we've been saved. And we can take and we can do with it whatever that we want. God is not going to take us by the ear like my teachers used to do in school and make us go over and do what we need to do. But I want you to know that he's given unto us that same type of ministry that he gave unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that in the 20th verse, he said, now are we ambassadors. Now are we ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled. You are ambassadors today for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the only type of ambassadors that we've ever seen have been those that have gone to foreign countries on behalf of the nation that they came from. And I'm not sure about this, but it seems that the office where that they're stationed at or where that they reside in, usually the capital of that country, is considered home territory. Is considered like if one was an ambassador to Russia, then whenever that he came into Moscow, that embassy is really kind of territory that belongs to the United States. And that's why so many of them, whenever that they want to seek asylum, if they can get to that embassy and if they can get inside, they're practically home free. God has given unto us an embassy. We're down here below where that we can reside. It's God's territory. It's God's kingdom, and we're walking in it today. Whether you realize it or not, you're walking in the kingdom of God. There's a song that used to say, walking down the king's highway. But my friend, I want you to know that you're walking in the presence of God. And He has called you to be ambassadors, to represent Christ Jesus unto a lost and dying world. And if there ever was a time in which that we live where that we need to represent Christ to a lost and dying world, it's in this day in which that we live. Do you know, I was traveling here through some of the neighborhoods and, you know, some of the byways. And, you know, I saw a man kind of walk out of his house. And he had a little girl that trailed behind, just about that high. You know, still had her jammies on, kind of trying to catch up with Daddy. And the thought just hit me. Will that child ever attend a church? Will that child have an opportunity to hear the gospel of the Son of God? And, you know, I just said a quick little prayer as much as I could. And I prayed, oh God, somewhere, touch your heart. Whenever that she realizes that she's lost, separated from you, just save her soul. That's all I can say. And I don't know that it would have done any good if I'd stopped and said to her, Father, you know, why don't y'all just pile in the car with me and we'll go up to where I'm preaching. I don't know if that done any good or not. But you know, it was what God laid upon my heart. It was what God gave me. And I want you to know that we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We represent Christ unto a lost and dying world. Now that's our mission. You know, after that God saves us, I was content just to go on my way and just do whatever I wanted to do because, you know what, God saved me and that's it. But it wasn't until years later that I realized and I understood that I've got a responsibility, that I've been given a great gift of eternal life. And it's my responsibility to find out what God wants me to do and who He wants to send me to and how far away that it is. That's our mission even today. And someone will say, well, you know, Brother Cofer, I just live here, you know, and I don't have any connections with far away. And, you know, I don't know people that are living in New York. You may. But some people will say, I don't know anybody living in New York or anybody living in London or whatever the case might be. But you know, your mission field, your field is out here, where that you live, where your neighborhood is. My friend, it's friends and neighbors, it's acquaintances, my friend. God has given that as our territory to go out. Now, I realize today that we cannot save an individual. I have no power to look into a man's heart and tell where he's at and to say to him, you just do what I tell you to do and then you're saved. I don't have that power. God never gave it to me. God never told me that I was to do that. All He said is, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what He said. And you know, we preach a certain message. We've got a tale to tell. Do you know what that tale is? It's salvation by grace. It's, my friend, a born-again experience and a no-so salvation. And you know, there's a song that says, you know, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And I kind of agree to that to a certain extent. But I'll tell you what the world needs now. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, we are those that have been reconciled unto God. We can speak from personal experience. We can speak from the platform of where that we live and where we work at, that we've been reconciled unto God. What is reconciliation? It's a good question. What is it to be reconciled unto God? Do you know that when we were without strength, without hope, aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel, that my friend, in that type of condition, in that type of situation, that God reached down to us with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last week I mentioned about how that at the cross is where that the final reconciliation, and I'll just repeat it to you. But you know, today on that cross has something to say to me today, to all of us. My friend, it was God reaching out unto lost humanity. You know, I saw a painting one time of the Sistine Chapel. And at the chapel, it shows a figure of God reaching towards a man and touching him. I think they were trying to depict how it is that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. But I thought, how appropriate if I'd been, was it Michelangelo? I can't remember. Anyway, whoever it was that painted it, if he'd only put the cross right there, if he put the cross between God and between man, my friend, it would have spoke just all kinds of things about being reconciled to God. We were at enmity with God. We were without hope. I want you to know that we had our place, my friend, among those that were on their way to eternal hell. We had our place there before the God saved my soul. I knew exactly where I was going. Before that, I got to that place to where that God reached down and did for me what I could not do for myself. I want you to know that he reconciled my soul unto God through the death of his cross. And someone will say, preacher, Sunday after Sunday, you preach about the cross, you preach about the blood, you preach about the resurrection. I don't know of anything else to preach about that, my friend, the world needs today. I want to tell you, they need that message. And, you know, they'll laugh and they'll scoff and they'll kind of make fun. But, my friend, we find that we ourselves were reconciled unto God, and we have a message that we can take unto them today. The enmity that was between us and between God was done away with. My friend, when Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, the veil in the temple was split in twain. And it wasn't just at the temple that it was split in twain, but that silent barrier, whenever that Adam sinned against God and brought death by sin into the world, and it passed upon all of us, God broke down that barrier. But there was an opening that was there. And that's through Christ Jesus today. My uncle, years ago, was friends with a very good farmer up in the area where that we lived at. Man was of another faith, religion, whatever. I think he had his own. But anyway, my uncle was talking to him, and he said, you know, Ray, he said, salvation and getting to God is like this. You know, and it was our barn that they were pointing at. You know, he can go in through the window and get into the barn. You know, you can go around back and where that they lower it to take the hay in. Do y'all remember that? Whenever you lower that, oh man, that thing could get hot. And I always had a fear of it. But nevertheless, you can go in that way. There's several different ways. And my uncle said unto him, what if you want to get into the loft? Go up higher. What if you want to get into that loft? He said, how do you get to it through all those other doors that you're talking about? Because they don't lead to the pathway in the hallway of the barn that goes up into the loft. And he said, Barney, the only way that you can get to the loft, he said, is go through that specific door right there. And then he went on to say, Barney, salvation is not like you can pick out how you want to be saved. But he said, it is one door. It is one faith. It is one baptism. It is one Savior today. It's not half a dozen faiths. It's not half a dozen means to get in. But it's only through one. Why? Because that God has reconciled us unto himself through the death of his Son. I was reconciled unto God. My friend, there was enmity between me and between God. And I want you to know, my friend, whenever that he saved my soul, he reconciled me unto God. The barrier that was there was done away with. And for you, redeemed today, the barrier that was between you and God was done away with. And God brought the sinner's hand over here and God's hand over here. And do you know where they meet today? They meet at the cross of Calvary. No other place, no other way. He hath made him, he says, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Christ was made sin. Someone will say, how could he still be the Son of God? He was a sacrifice. He was an offering. Whenever that those priests... Whenever that those priests would offer a sacrifice of a lamb, a bullock, or a goat, my friend, in the ceremony, they would lay their hands upon it, and they would pronounce all the sins of Israel, all the iniquity, all the evil and wickedness of Israel. It was like the priest was piling on all the sin of Israel upon that lamb. And then that lamb was sacrificed. My friend, it was the same way with Christ Jesus. He became the very epitome of sin. He took your sins. He took my sins. He took, my friend, the sins of those whomsoever will. My friend, anyone can be saved today. They've not gone so far. But what the merciful hand of God cannot reach down unto them and save their souls. And then, my friend, no matter how wicked that the individual is, it does not matter what he has done. There's mercy with God. Think about it today. To be made a child of God. What is it to be reconciled unto God? We have a new name. We're a new creature. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. My friend, when one gets saved, he is not the same. He will not be the same throughout the remainder of his life. And in fact, his eternal life began at that point. It's not whenever that he dies. He just changes residences. Did you know that? Yeah, my friend at the grave on my stone, I like for somebody to put moved on up. Heard a preacher one time, older minister, a very wise man. He said, one of these days, he said, you're going to hear that old W.T. Russell is dead. And he said, don't you believe it. I'll be more alive than ever. And my friend, so are you. That's the beauty of reconciliation. And my friend, along with that today, with reconciliation, we say, what brought all of this about? What brought all of this into being? Why in the world? Was God just playing with humanity? No, there was something about the character of God that's still there today. And that's his great, infathomable love. No one can measure the love of God. Did you know that? It goes, it's that song. I love that song. I hope we sing it again. That blood, my friend, through love, reaches down into the lowest hell and reaches down into the lowest dregs. I want to tell you something, my friend. He can save anyone today. And it's because of his great love that he has bestowed upon us and the love that he bestows upon us today as sons of God, as children of God. You ever read the account of whenever that David became king? And he said one day, is there any that's left of the household of Saul that I might show mercy unto them? And you know, they searched far and wide and they found one that was the son of Jonathan. His name was Mephibosheth. And if you know anything about his background, he was a young infant And as they were making an escape from some danger, he happened to fall. And when he did, it forevermore changed the way that he walked. He couldn't walk very well. So David called for his servant to bring Mephibosheth into his home, or into the temple, or into the residence of the palace. And whenever that he did, Mephibosheth, it says, Mephibosheth thought, oh my goodness, he's going to kill all the household of Saul. He's going to kill all the offspring of him. And then he's going to kill all the offspring of Jonathan. But that's not what David had in mind. David called him in. And I can almost see Mephibosheth struggling to get down to where that David's throne was. You see, David had made a covenant. He had made an everlasting covenant, if you will. The only kind of covenants that God makes are everlasting covenants. If you ever read about them, they're not so much temporal, just for that time alone. But my friend, they have a far-reaching effect. And I'm thankful that the covenant that he made in past eternity, think about it today, that Christ didn't come into this world by accident. He didn't wind up being born and, oh wow, I think I'll be a savior. No, I want you to know that in past eternity, the Father and the Word and the Holy Spirit met together. Where do you get that at, preacher? I get it from over in Acts where it says, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God knew man would be a Savior. And Him being delivered, they entered into deliberation. What would it take to redeem man? What shall be done? Adam has failed. Adam will fail. He'll plunge the world into darkness. And I want you to know that Christ Jesus, the Word, as He was known then, stepped forward and said, Father, I'll become flesh. And I'll dwell among them, and they'll see the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. And then I will take, my friend, what no man could do. I will take this body that you have given unto me, and I will offer it upon the cross of Calvary. And someone will say, Christ offered His body? Yes, He did. They could not have crucified Him without His go-ahead. Pilate said to him, Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you? And Jesus said unto him, No power could be given to do that unless it was given from above. And that's when Pilate got fearful. And he wanted to let him go. And my prayer, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, Christ came forward and paid the redemptive price that was needed. Behold, what manner of love that the Father should bestow upon us, His love. Behold, now are we the sons of God. It's not later on we become the sons of God. Do you know that you've been redeemed? You got the blood applied to your heart? Do you know you're a son of God? Do you know that you're a saint? Yeah, I know we're sinners saved by grace, by where that we came from. But I also know this, that the Bible says that now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be. In other words, we're looking forward unto that day whenever that we will be made complete. In other words, whether that we sleep in the silent city of the dead or whether we're standing upon the earth, I would love to be standing upon the earth when He comes. I would love to watch graves spring open and the dead in Christ rise first. I would love to see that happen. With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. But my friend, I want you to know that we look forward to that glorified body. And do you know today, my friend, we're going to know as we are known. No one is going to have to walk up to you and say, see that guy over there? That's Abraham. You're going to know. See the man sitting upon the throne next to the Father? That's Jesus. I know that's Jesus. Why? Because I will know as I am known. And he said, it doth not appear what he shall appear, but we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, I don't know if this is how Jesus looks. I really don't. It may be, as far as I know. But I want you to know that when you get to heaven, you're going to know him. You're going to know him. And my friend, I want you to know that there is going to be something man-made there that'll remind you for all of eternity. For all eternity. What it is that got you there. Who it was that placed you there into the kingdom of God. What is it that's man-made in heaven? I thought there wasn't supposed to be any sin or anything that defiles all those things. Well, that's true. But I want you to know that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are going to be two hands that were pierced. There's going to be two feet that were also pierced, that held him to the cross. There's going to be a side that is riven. My friend, that proved that he had died. When blood and water came forth, my friend, that was a sign that Christ had died. He was as dead as could be. He tasted of death for every man. And you know, there's not going to be anybody there that says, well, I did this, and I deserve to be there. Or I did that, and I deserve to be there. And you know, I did this, and I did these works. Works are fine. We preached about that one Sunday. Works accompany grace. Grace comes first. Works next. And it's not because of any laurels that I've done. My friend Paul said in one place, he said, I do count all that I have done. Pharisee, the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, knowing the law, blameless. But all these I do count as dung for the knowledge of the glory of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I could go down with my credentials that I've won in life. Doctoral. No, not the MD kind. But yes, all of those kind of laurels. But I want to tell you something. What means the most to me today is to be able to say, I'm a child of God. I'm an heir with him, a joint heir with Christ Jesus. And we preach this gospel of reconciliation, reconciling the world unto God through the message of the cross of Christ Jesus. So today, if you get nothing more from this lesson that we've read in your hearing, may you take away with you, behold, what manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. God bless you. Is my prayer, if there's anybody here, I don't know anybody's heart, I just know my own. But if there's anyone here that's lost, separated from God, in darkness, you don't know if you're going to heaven or not. My friend, I want to invite you. This altar up here. Do you know what? It's a good place to pray. But my friend, it can't save you.
Right.
It's the altar that God makes. Some have been saved in pickup trucks. Some have been saved at a stump out in the woods. Some have been saved in barns. I was in a store warehouse when God saved me. Never imagined that I could feel what I felt. What joy that I felt. You know, he put things into my heart and in my mind that to this day I can't explain. But I want you to know that the main thing is, today, if you're here and lost, we invite you to come and pray, or pray wherever you are. We'll try to pray with you if need be. But today, I desire that you might be reconciled unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We might have a hymn, and we might have a song. I'm truly thankful, despite Benadryl and everything that seems to be floating around in my bloodstream, I'm thankful to be here today, and I'm thankful to be called a child of God. I see Sister Angie. I'm sorry, I'm not just singling you out. Did you know that your great-great-grandfather was a pastor here?
I didn't know he was a pastor. I knew he preached here.
Yeah.
But I didn't know he was a pastor.
If I'm not mistaken, he did. Sherman. Okay. What a heritage. This gospel sounded out from this place for a long time. 165 years. Oh my, the number that's been saved. Oh my, the number that's been reconciled unto God. Oh, the number today that were on their way to destruction, and God plucked them off that road and put them on the narrow road.